Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's episode number 374 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag has one final look at what an expanded playoff would have looked like this year. At 12:30, Quinn Ewers has Texas fans gripping, and we update the possibility of Gary Patterson coming to Austin. And a mere minutes between championship games, coaching news, and the college football playoff Final Four now being set. The sport is freaking bananas right now. I'm Trey Elling, and behind the glass today, sitting across from me today is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Here's what you need to do. One day, out of nowhere, you need to give yourself an unnecessary intro. That's what you need to do. Give yourself what you give Isaiah Collier when he produces the show. Just behind the glass and then just lay into it.
I don't want to start the show that negatively, Chad.
Oh, come on.
I'm my own worst critic here. Yeah, I know. Some of you out there that really hate me, that are hate listening right now, you find that hard to fathom. I'll show you one day. I will show you.
You think there are people that listen because they hate?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
Because the same yahoos text their hateful, angry things on a daily basis.
Why would I do that? That's always been a fascinating thing to me, where the idea that, like, when people call me a self-loathing fan, the idea that I watch my teams play but I hate myself or I hate the team, like, that's just silly to me. But, like, I know what I don't like. Why would I listen to something I don't like? Like this, they just did a redo of Annie, which in my lifetime is, I don't know, the third or fourth different variation of Annie.
Yeah, and it's classic Hollywood also, right, where they're just switching up the ethnic makeup
Correct.
Of a majority of the cast?
Exactly.
But Soul Plane.
But there never has been a version of Annie that I've actually cared to see enough to see it. I've never seen it. I don't want to see it. I could die happy not having ever seen it.
So, it's the musical thing. It's not the storyline necessarily.
That's correct. I just don't dig musicals. So I've never seen Annie and I've never seen Grease, and you could go down the list of all the musicals I've never seen. But yeah, I would certainly not make myself listen to them. We hope that you enjoy listening to the show. Or you know what? If you want to hate listen. Go right ahead. We don't care as long as you're listening and enjoying some aspect of the show.
So as somebody who is from that Howard Stern generation, he literally was an influence on me wanting to be in radio when I was a teenager. Even though Howard Stern has really sold out in some pretty pathetic ways, and he's a shell of himself at this point, and it's sad to see what somebody who was that on top of his game would eventually turn to over time. But then again, power corrupts. But Howard Stern, the supposed appeal, according to his book Private Parts, and also a part of that book that was highlighted in the movie based on the book, was how long those that hated him listened versus those that loved him. And those that hated him listened for longer.
Yeah.
Perhaps because they're trying to get that next bit of fodder that they can use against him or to try and get him fired or whatever. I never understood that. Whenever I would watch that movie and see that part, it's like, why do you want to subject yourself to something that is fostering negative emotions? Then again, Chad, I do watch Texas football on a year-in and year-out basis.
That's fair. Maybe that's why people listen to you. They listen because they want to know the next thing they're going to tweet out or put out on Facebook that you do that they can't stand. Whatever the reason is, we got a lot of football to get into today. And
we'll on that note, Chad, I need to start today's show by talking about face masks. No, I'm just kidding. Let's get to football because there is a ton going on and a lot of it off the field right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Let's jump into the specs set piece, and we'll start in the coaching room.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. When it's time to kick off the Austin FC match, say big at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff out there. Last week, we had, the two biggest stories, Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma out to USC, and then you had the Notre Dame story with Brian Kelly going to LSU, and according to some affecting a little bit of a Southern accent and throwing in some phrasing and all that kind of stuff, which I thought was entertaining. I have not actually heard a lot of that stuff.
Like Hillary Clinton stumping in the Deep South, Chad.
Now, did he really, was somebody just making a joke, Trey, or did he really say, like, I do declare, or I heard somebody use a phrase.
Oh, did he actually sound like Foghorn Leghorn at one point?
I'm hoping he didn't do that. Didn't go that far. But
I do declare.
I do declare. So those are the biggest stories, and then we told you last week, Marcus Freeman's going to be the guy at Notre Dame. We will get to the Miami thing, but let's go ahead and finish off the Oklahoma story because that did get its finish over the weekend. By the end of the weekend last night, Trey, I saw the video of Brent Venables on the private jet with the OU hat saying hello to Sooner Nation, I guess is what they call their collective fan base. And, you know, he landed and everybody's happy. I hadn't realized that not only was he there for a while, all four of his children were born in Norman. I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize they had a hospital that could do such things in Norman.
Well, I'm sure they were born in Oklahoma City. I don't think they do.
They're claiming Oklahoma City, if nothing else.
The hospital in Norman, I think, is an RV.
Well, I think it's an upgrade that they got, 10, 15 years ago. Prior to that, it was a barn.
The generator's awesome, though. They got two now. Anyway, but apparently all his kids were born there he was at Oklahoma. So, Trey, I got to give Brent Venables credit here for maybe one of the better slow plays by a coach we've ever seen in our lifetime.
Because they didn't need to slow play it necessarily. It's not like Clemson is still playing for something this season.
Right. No, I'm saying him in his career slow playing this.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? To not take that job and not take that job and not take the mid-level and not take the small. Like, he just kept breathing in, breathing out, and wearing that bright orange, and now he's got to burn all his orange because he has to only wear crimson and cream. But I admire it. He slow played it from a coaching perspective to where he got what can be argued as one of the Mount Rushmore programs in the sport.
Yes, he did, because his name has been rumored to various programs ever since Clemson won that first championship. Even prior to that, he was looked at as one of the best in the business as far as defensive coordinators go. So good for him for showing an extreme amount of patience that most people wouldn't have, especially when you're talking about the sort of money that he could have made jumping into the head coaching ranks prior to this point. And he probably got what he considers to be a dream gig. And it seems like the situation is set up pretty well, not only in terms of what he's going to be doing defensively, but also what they plan to do on offense to make sure they're not really missing a beat there.
I'm glad you said that, because there's a story from the weekend that I think every college football fan needs to pay attention to. Did you catch who got fired yesterday?
Dude.
Because if Brent Venables is smart, I'd call that guy right now.
I
wouldn't wait.
I didn't want to put that on Twitter because I didn't want to give anybody in Norman any ideas.
Wow.
What the hell is Matt Rhule doing?
I have no idea.
What is Matt Rhule doing? He has been a good head coach up to this point. Did he suffer a head injury or something? Because a month ago, he signed Cam Newton to be his team's starting quarterback.
Yep.
As they try and mine the gap before Sam Darnold gets back. And then he has the gall to fire Joe Brady as if it's Joe Brady's fault that Christian McCaffrey played, what, 5 games this year? Sam Darnold has been out for half the season at this point, who was supposed to be this team's starting quarterback. Looked great early on, by the way, when everybody was healthy. And then he thrust Cam Newton into Joe Brady's lap, and the offense stinks to high heaven since then. And that's Joe Brady's fault?
Right.
Like, Matt Rhule doesn't have much longer in Carolina based on the terrible decisions that he's making this year.
He just got fired for a combination of what's left of Cam Newton and his shoulder, an injured Sam Darnold, and PJ Walker.
Right. And Christian McCaffrey
not being around
for most of the last 2 years.
Dude, I saw that go across the crawl. I had to stop. I had to pause it to make sure I was seeing it correctly. And then the next thought I had was, oh, my God, who out there needs an offensive coordinator in the college ranks? And I start going through the list of people that might need it. And I'm thinking of the region he was in. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. For some reason, TCU popped in my head. Then SMU popped in my head. And I went, no, wait, think bigger. And then it hit me. Oh, my God. What if OU goes Venables and Venables calls that guy? You think Joe Brady wants to come back to college And maybe now look, he won't have those pieces that he had at LSU. It will not look that good.
They still have good pieces, though.
But still, if you put him at a program like an OU, does Dabo need a little sprucing up on offense? I'm thinking of anybody around the country. Does Nick Saban look at that and think, well, wait, what? Who got fired? Let me talk to Bill O'Brien a second. We'll talk about an analyst job. Or I'll bring Joe Brady in as an analyst, and we'll do that for a year. Or I'll make him co-OC. To me, that's one of the biggest stories in college ball right now, is who gets Joe Brady.
He brings less baggage than Jeff Lebby does.
Yes.
Because Lebby was a part of those Baylor staffs that obviously got into a ton of trouble with Art Briles at the helm.
Good point. I don't know if Joe Brady's even been to Waco.
Maybe because LSU wouldn't have traveled to Waco at all. Yeah, I don't know if Joe Brady wants to end up back in the college game, though. He may be a guy who is okay staying at the NFL level, even if that means taking a step back into like a QB coach position or something.
So I'm really interested to see where that one goes. But congrats to Brent Venables. He'll be the guy. Trey, he feels like the right amount of – he's got the right amount of like hard-ass, wild and crazy coach. I need a little bit of a get-back coach, but he's got enough humanity in him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's like Will Muschamp, but dialed down just a bit.
Right.
He's like Will Muschamp with the amount of Mac Brown I always thought Will Muschamp needed. I never thought Will paid enough attention to Mac Brown. Will knew more football than Mac Brown, but he didn't learn the Mac Brown part of it from Mac Brown.
No, you're right about that. He didn't understand just how you needed to play the game.
Yeah.
You're going to be the head coach at a major program. For all Mac's faults, he understood how to play that part of the game.
Yeah. Coach, I need a human smile in 3 seconds. 2, 1. Ooh, that's not going to work.
Look, you may not be great talking X's and O's, but can you please remember everybody's name in the room?
Yeah, right.
Because even if you're saying stuff that's completely wrong about football, if you say thank you so-and-so, so-and-so fill in the blank name at the end of that meeting, everybody's going to love you.
So, dominoes now. Clemson needs a DC. Who's going to, because he's been there forever. I mean, he's been there a decade. So who's going to be running Clemson's defense? And then, Trey, the other big story in college football is this Mario Cristobal thing. One of the weirdest, like, timings of a story, because Manny Diaz was the coach at Miami all the way through the weekend while they were reporting that Mario Cristobal was in serious discussions on contract numbers. Not he was trying to figure out if he wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, we're just working it out. We're working out private jets and, you know, what kind of vacation homes and what's the money and what's the bonus. So Manny Diaz had to know today was coming. They officially fired him earlier, and Mario Cristobal, according to sources, is about to become the Miami coach.
Yeah, that was going to shape up to be one of those situations that even if you didn't land Cristobal, because so much of that news was out there already about your pursuit of him, you were not going to have any choice but to fire Manny Diaz when it was all said and done. I guess, fortunately for Hurricane alum, those who root for the U, you do get your guy in the end. I'm guessing that's what ends up happening. And it is an upgrade because Manny Diaz,
oh, no doubt, yeah,
is a great defensive coordinator. We may have to accept at this point that the highest we're willing to go with him is DC status, because he's had several different opportunities now as a head coach, including this, which was supposed to be the best possible fit for him.
Right.
And it has not worked out for a number of different reasons.
Dude, there ain't nothing wrong with being a badass number two coach with badass number one hair.
And this, yeah.
That's what he's got.
You do have head coach level hair.
Oh, he's got incredible hair.
But it's not like you can't make really good money just to be a defensive coordinator at this point.
Yeah, he should, you know, put his phone on full call and let people just let him know what they need. I just mentioned Clemson needed a defensive coordinator. Now, I don't think Dabo's calling Manny Diaz.
He could.
He might need
that would be a great hire.
He might need a little more rehab before he ends up at a place like Clemson. I think the Clemson fans might not quite enjoy the Manny Diaz approach right away, but he's going to get calls. So that's where Miami's going. That means now, Trey, the, you know, pretty big dog in the Pac-12, Oregon needs a head coach for the first time in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder where they go. Where does Phil Knight go with all of his NIL possibilities? They're on the cutting edge of NIL in ways that not a lot of other universities are. They're really going heavy on stuff. So who does he go get?
Already seeing rumors of Chip Kelly returning to Eugene.
How about that?
That's fascinating because it is beginning to look like he's getting things going in the right direction at UCLA, including getting the recruiting back on track.
Wonder if he'll call Joe Brady. That might be an interesting phone call.
Yep.
Now, he's the offensive guy, I know, but still.
Doesn't Chip Kelly run his own offense, though?
He does.
I mean, shoot, when I saw that news yesterday, by the way, what a freaking, what a scumbag move of Matt Rhule to announce that move during the NFL games yesterday while Carolina is on bye.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a Are you trying to slip that past everybody, you scumbag?
Here's one for you. Who's the OC at Oklahoma State?
That's a good question.
Was Gundy calling his own plays this year, or did he have a guy? I can't remember.
I think he has been. Gosh, the thought crossed my head when I saw Brady being a free agent again that, hey, Steve Sarkisian, you want to bring somebody else aboard, just another bright offensive mind to help you understand how to scheme plays open? Yeah, not that you need a ton of help in that regard. It's more about getting weapons around the right guy at quarterback at this point. But, yeah, he is he's big time. If I were Joe Brady and I really did want to stay as a coordinator, I probably wouldn't take my chances with going back down to position coach level. You need to strike where the iron is hottest, and the iron is going to be the hottest right now in college football because everybody still remembers what you did with LSU a couple years ago.
Oh, dude, that's absolutely what he needs to be thinking about. We'll see if that moves. By the way, speaking of former coaches and where they end up, we will get you an update on the Gary Patterson thing with Texas. Also, the Quinn Ewers story really took off over the weekend. We'll get into that coming up at 12:30. Also, Trey, we do have our college football playoff. Once Oklahoma State ended up 1 yard short, it really got easier for the committee to figure it out. So give me your thoughts. Bama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati. Are the four teams correct, and would you have reorganized it at all?
I would have Alabama and Georgia play one another again immediately. Because I don't want to see these two teams meet in a national championship game. I'm sorry. I don't want a repeat of the SEC championship game in the college football playoff final. So have those two teams play one another again and have Michigan and Cincinnati play one another again.
Cincinnati would prefer that.
Cincinnati would definitely prefer that. I think Cincinnati can beat Michigan. I would probably pick them to beat Michigan if that game were actually happening and we were selecting today. Here's my issue with this.
Okay.
Look, I understand Alabama just beat the number one team in the country, but they're also...
And beat them bad. I mean, they controlled
it. Beat them bad, but there are also legitimate questions at this point as to whether Georgia was being overcooked just a little bit. Look, that defense is good on most days. That defense is good, but the caliber of competition they played throughout the season was not very good. Alabama is the best team that they played, and they got boat raced by those guys.
I was so disappointed by that defense.
Top of the fact that Michigan just freaking destroyed Iowa. So it's not like Michigan had a close win against middling competition.
And I was 15 in this last ranking.
And they were, what, 12 or something before
that? They were 13.
Yeah, they were 13 before that.
Yep.
So Iowa wasn't a slouch necessarily, and they beat them like a drum. Michigan deserved to receive the number one ranking. If you insist on keeping Cincinnati right there, which I would also make the argument that Cincinnati, one of two things needed to happen. You move Alabama to one, keep Michigan at two, move Cincinnati to three, and Georgia to four, or you move Michigan to one, have Alabama and Georgia as two and three, and have Cincinnati
and
at four.
And leave Cincinnati.
But the committee is trying to get cute and trying to make sure that Cincinnati or a G5 team, or G5 for another season after this, doesn't end up in the playoffs so that the G5 doesn't have this legitimate argument to get more teams into an expanded playoff if and when that happens.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, I see the argument that our eyeballs tell us the best two teams we saw were Bama and Michigan. But I also see your argument of giving Michigan the love for a more dominant win, go ahead and kick them to one, let Georgia and Bama handle it again. Because here's the other thing you do. You reward Bama by letting them in, but you also say to them, sorry, but you got to beat them again.
Yes.
Because they hadn't lost a game, Nick. I'm sorry, and I know it's SEC East, and we can look at their schedule, and they played Kentucky and Vandy. I get it, but we're going to need you to do that again. We're going to need you to do it further away from your place. Go to Jerry World, handle your business again, and then, and follow me here, Nick Saban, you're going to get the Michigan-Cincinnati winner.
Because you know who else played a blah schedule in the Final Four? Alabama did. Look at who they played on their schedule. It was a similar group of teams to what Georgia played. Obviously, they're in different divisions. Auburn, not very good. LSU, not very good. Mississippi State, okay. Ole Miss, okay. They played close games with Arkansas. They right. lost to an A&M team.
They lost to a four-loss team.
A four-loss team yes. they lost to. Should have lost to an unranked Auburn team. I realize that's a rivalry game. You ultimately win that one, but that could have been a loss.
And that early non-conference win against Miami looks different now. It was ranked then.
Right. It's just like
feels different now.
It's just like Georgia beating Clemson the first game of the season.
Yeah.
In retrospect, that was not as big a deal. As we made it out to be at the time.
It's a good point. I could take any combination of it, but I like your argument there. And I thought about that, too, as the game ended. My first gut was, okay, you need to orient this so Bama and Georgia don't play again. But then I had the second thought of, now, wait a second. Hold on, fan of an SEC team. Are you trying to be too – are you being a little too SEC-centric there? Think this through. And doesn't Georgia need to be punished for what just happened? Not punished, kicked all the way out. But punish. So my idea, Trey, was kick Georgia all the way down to four, let Cincinnati go to three, and then have the matchups you're looking for anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would have done. Make Bama and Georgia go to Dallas, go to Jerry World, and let Michigan and Cincinnati go to, what's the other one, Orange Bowl. Let them go south and make the two SEC teams go over to Texas. That's what I would have done.
Michigan got screwed the worst here. Because they're having to go up against that Georgia defensive line. What is it that Michigan does well?
Yeah.
They run the ball well.
That's going to be a slobber knocker.
Yes, it is.
And Georgia should have a certain edge to them. Back to that game, just a real disappointing effort. I mean, they had their shot. They had their chance to drive the knife into Jason Voorhees' chest and turn it and rip the mask off and the movie's over. Nope. They gave up 24 in a quarter. To that group, and they made Young. They gave Young the Heisman. I don't think there's any doubt he wins the Heisman. Is there a doubt in your mind?
No doubt in my mind.
They just handed him the Heisman
yes,
trophy. All the and look, the kid made great throws. The one over the top to Mechie that looked like that giant Super Bowl one down the sideline. That was an amazing throw and catch. They made big plays, but that Georgia defense let them down. Over and over and over again. It wasn't about turnovers. It was just about they got whooped. I was extremely disappointed because I was with the rest of America wanting Alabama out of this thing, and the dogs did not help me out.
And the Georgia offense was seriously exposed too. Stetson Bennett on Saturday just turned into the Luke character from Modern Family, the progression of that Luke character, where it was a cute story at first. No, he's got a speech impediment, and it's so much fun. We got to an age where all of a sudden the speech impediment wasn't cute anymore. It was a little bit worrisome. That's where Georgia fans probably should be with Stetson Bennett right now, understanding that if you need to get into one of those sorts of games, Stetson Bennett, probably not the guy.
By the way, is JT Daniels hurt?
I don't know.
Because
I saw people asking that over the weekend. It's a great question.
Like you had the feeling I did when that ball fell right into Mechie's hands and it was 31-17. You knew it was over, right?
Yep.
You knew it was done.
Mm-hmm.
That's panic time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if there's how much time there's left in that third quarter. Panic, Kirby, right now. Panic. Because you have to chase 14 in the SEC title game against Saban. You think you're doing it with Bennett? I'd have tried everything. I'd have brought JT Daniels in for a drive, a play, a couple. Do I have any wildcat, wild dog, whatever you got? I knew they were done at 31-17.
Gotten that feeling twice in the last few weeks of watching football. One was the Dallas-New Orleans game last Thursday where Dallas gets up by two scores. And you know Taysom Hill is the quarterback on the other side.
It's over.
And then also when Carolina, back to Joe Brady, got down by a couple of scores in the fourth quarter. A few weeks ago, it's like Cam Newton is the guy that you're sticking with here. You were expecting to lose this game.
Yeah, you knew they were getting thrashed that day. That was the Miami game, right?
Yep.
With the Dolphins? Yeah, and Miami beat them, what, 33-10 by the end? Because you knew that's what was going to happen. Wild weekend. It will be Bama and Cincinnati. If you want to go to Jerry World, that's what you will see. If you want to go to the Orange Bowl, Michigan and Georgia are getting together in Miami. We got some other bowls we can talk about as well. Some other decent ones out there. But those are your main semifinals, and those will happen on New Year's Eve. All right, coming up next, why Longhorn fans, Aggie fans, and even Texas Tech fans are talking about a kid with a mullet, and Gary Patterson is trying to figure out if he wants to wear burnt orange. Well, maybe they'd make him wear it in the office. I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll talk about it. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Getting started on a Monday. You going new music today, Trey?
Yep, new music Friday on a Monday. Chad, starting with a band that we played on these airwaves before, St. Paul and the Broken Bones. How about the name of this one? Love Letter from a Red Roof Inn.
Are you serious? Oh, God, I love this. Great name for a band, too. You know,
yes.
I'm a sucker for the ampersand bands. St. Paul and the Broken Bones is a wonderful name. By the way, text of the day, I don't know if anybody beats this one, but somebody texted, Trey, you and Chad are my two favorite hosts on the station. I just don't like Radiohead. Just kind of a strange, weird admission from somebody. So there you
go. Okay. I guess I'm not going to play much more Radiohead than I do already, which is not much.
Somebody else texted in agreeing with you, Trey, saying, I completely agree. Nobody wants to see the possibility of an SEC rematch for the national title. Real quick idea before we transition. Back in the day, Kevin Dunn and plenty of college football fans got a little upset in 96 when it was Florida State late in the year. And then they met in a bowl game, which ended up being the national title game. And then, but then for Kevin and people that followed Florida State, and I was rooting for the Noles in that run too, they're thinking, well, wait a minute, now they split. Why wouldn't you have another game? You know, those that kind of stuff. But to me, Trey, now if you have this two semifinal format, if Florida and Florida State deserve to be in, we'll make them play again.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think of it as, well, we can't have them play again because that would be, whoa, stop. No, give them another month. Say, Kirby, you're lucky to still be in this thing. Nick, so are you. Y'all have to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it again. Congrats, Cincinnati. Congrats, Michigan. Y'all play each other, have a ball. But you two guys, y'all got to figure this out.
I wish they would have done things that way.
I do, too.
Then again, I guess it's this sort of thinking and this sort of setup. That's part of the reason why Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC, because they get the benefit of the doubt, even in a year where the conference is not as good as it traditionally is.
You're right. No, you're right. There's always those kind of things, the way that conferences set stuff up. Real quick, though, on a lesser bowl, did you see who Mississippi State has to play in a bowl game?
Yes. How great is that?
What in the world? I thought the SEC protected its schools.
They do.
That's at a level where they would be able to determine that. Why would you make Mississippi State play Tech? Why would you put Mike Leach back into that unless he asked for it?
He probably did, and I don't know what the line is in that game.
I am picking
Mississippi State to beat Texas Tech like a drum.
Oh, I love the idea, and I'm assuming Mike will get them ready and they'll win. But, yeah, that was an interesting matchup. I love it from the fan perspective. That's a great idea. All right, so speaking of fan perspectives, let's get back into some of this Longhorn football stuff. Trey, what do you prefer, quarterbacks or coaches? Where do you want to start?
Let's start with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I'm dreading the idea of Gary Patterson here.
Oh, okay, well, I know you're not dreading the idea of another mullet coming to town, and I don't mean the one I'd be growing out if I lose this pick'em thing. I mean Quinn Ewers. So over the weekend, it becomes known that Quinn Ewers is transferring from Ohio State. Remember, the last time he switched, he was just a verbal at the time to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He decommits. Commits to Ohio State and goes early. Remember that? It was an NIL deal, went early. He was at, let me see if I get it, South Lake Carroll? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. So he ends up in Columbus trying to get some early NIL. And then the reports I'm reading are, in a shock to Ryan Day, says, I'm transferring. Not a lot of people, some people aren't shocked because that quarterback room is so full,
mm-hmm.
Stroud and others, but he decides he's done at Ohio State. And it's a Texas list that I'm seeing. I'm seeing Longhorns, Aggies, Red Raiders. He visited Texas Tech this weekend, correct?
Visited Tech yesterday, got the 5-star red carpet treatment.
For those people that might think that's just a fake story and, oh, Texas Tech's not really a part of it, he visited Lubbock.
Scheduled to visit TCU today.
Oh, there you go.
As soon as the news dropped late last week, Steve Sarkisian apparently went straight to the Ewers house and spent at least 3 hours meeting with Quinn and his family about the prospects of coming to Texas. I don't see anything officially scheduled to A&M just yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's on the docket at some point this week, too.
Yeah, I don't know if he ever – I do not know about his thoughts about A&M. Has he ever visited A&M? That I don't know. What we do know, obviously, is that Steve Sarkisian, among all these guys, has a big leg up because the kid was committed to his brand.
Right, And grew up a Texas fan.
And grew up as a Longhorn
and
guy.
Whatever financial considerations are being talked about in the NIL realm, you know Texas is going to have no problem matching those if need be, too.
Yeah, and this is a wild story for me, not only because, and if you don't know, this is more one class more immediate than the Arch Manning discussion. This is 22. Mm-hmm. This is for this next football season that we'd be discussing it. This would be his one-time transfer, no penalties, no time sitting out. So, Trey, here's my question to you as a Longhorn fan. If Quinn Ewers, if getting Quinn Ewers means you don't get Arch Manning, you still want Quinn Ewers?
Yes, because you can't be too concerned with the grass is always greener mindset. And while Arch Manning would be a huge get for Texas, obviously, not just because of the talent, but because of the pedigree, you go for the next potential thing that can help you out, because Quinn Ewers was looked at by a lot of people before he reclassified at the end of this summer to enroll at Ohio State for this football season as the first real sure thing at the position since Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's how highly he was thought of at South Lake Carroll. So you need to keep that in mind as well, despite the fact that points-wise on recruiting websites, might he be a little bit worse than Arch Manning? Sure, but he was still looked at as a guy who was a program changer mm-hmm. for the school that landed him.
Somebody texted in, Aggies don't want him per Jimbo. And I don't know if that's been said out loud. Let's not go spreading weird rumors around.
Per Jimbo, okay.
There's no need to spread
nope,
things
we're running
like
with that
around.
One.
We're not going with that one. But that's it could be a wild battle, obviously, in this region. I mean, you thought he was gone. He was Cade Klubnik,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, I mean, there are people that would still tell you everybody's got to recruit Klubnik till the end. But and by the way, hello Dabo Swinney was hanging out watching Westlake.
Yes, he was
this week. Congrats to Westlake. Jeez, 70-7.
That was a boat race.
My God. So if you assume that Klubnik is gone, that was what Quinn Ewers was. Not only was he gonna go, he was already gone. He went early. He was in Columbus. You didn't even think about him, and now comes back in. House divided. Plus Tech. Plus TCU. Both house divided teams need a quarterback. A quarterback they can count on and believe in and take them to the next level. Both coaches are offensive minded. Both coaches are quarterback whisperers. One of them used to be a badass college quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is fascinating for the region. This is going to reset everything in college ball in this region for a while. Does he want to end up in the SEC at one of the house divided schools, because he knows he'll end up there at Texas, or he would already be there with A&M?
Right.
Or does this kid have a little bold to him? Does this kid have a little crazy bold to him where he goes, you know what? This new Big 12 looks pretty good. Let me go to Tech or TCU and blaze my trail a little differently.
Well, apparently Joey McGuire, the new guy in charge at Texas Tech, had a very organized game plan laid out for when Quinn Ewers got to Lubbock
mm-hmm.
at whatever point that was over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday. And they put on a great show for Quinn and gave him a lot to think about, on top of the fact that apparently Quinn has spent some time training with Pat Mahomes
uh-huh.
this past offseason.
Okay.
And so Mahomes is obviously doing what you would hope one of your most famous and important alumnus in the sport of football is doing for his school, and that is telling Quinn about all the great things at Texas Tech and in Lubbock. Despite the fact that it's in Lubbock, Lubbock does have a certain charm about it.
All the great things in Lubbock for Patrick Mahomes, but also the full path, right? Here's what you can do while you're in Lubbock. Here's why I enjoyed Lubbock. Here's who I met while I was in Lubbock. Here's the connections I made in Lubbock, but also don't let anybody tell you that you can't wear red and black and then go to the NFL. You're watching what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that would have, if I'm a, you know, if you're a Longhorn fan or an Aggie fan, before you just push away the Texas Tech idea completely, I think that's the angle that should get you to respect it. If he's got Mahomes talking to him, it's like, all right.
And the smell of death coming from the slaughterhouses with those eastern winds, that only makes you stronger.
Oh,
whether you're on the practice
man.
Field or just walking to class.
Quinn Ewers. How about that? Somebody texted in, Mahomes, overrated. Yes, exactly. Sure.
Yeah, we're going to need to talk to it. We're needing to talk about at some point that Kansas City is a legitimate threat this year because of their defense.
Yep. And that offense can still get a little freaky every now and again.
They can, and they haven't turned it on just yet. So if that defense continues playing like this the rest of the way, and the offense figures it out, Watch out.
Oh, you mean it impressed you that they won a game and the other team had nine?
Yeah.
It kind of impressed me, too, a couple weeks ago when they did that to my Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of something. They're disruptive. If Chris Jones stays healthy, just look out.
Mm-hmm.
Just pay attention. At least respect them. They're not the only one. There's a thick group of NFL teams that can win it all right now, but you have to put them in the discussion.
Yep.
And there are some teams now. New England, by the way, tonight, a big game tonight if New England can get this win. Kansas City has now crept back into a discussion, and so have the Patriots. Do we realize because the Steelers were able to beat the Ravens yesterday, the Patriots are back into the one seed?
The Ravens suck so bad. Like, I know they're going to make the playoffs this year, but that is a team that is destined for an early round exit.
Dude, I'm going to tell you what. I had to watch my wife go through half a heart attack yesterday, and she always does when they play. I am a sucker for those two teams playing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's ugly, and sometimes it is. It doesn't have to be great football. I just am always entertained. I'm always entertained when the Ravens and Steelers get together. God love them. God love John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Please keep doing that because I just can't stop watching.
No, you're right about that.
I love it.
What's the Gary Patterson update real quick before the commercial break? I'll be honest. I've unplugged on this story. I'm not plugging back in until something official comes out.
What I am reading over the weekend, Trey, and reports in different places are saying that Gary Patterson is considering whether he wants to come to Texas. It will not be as D.C. It would be in an analyst role.
Thank God.
But I'm also reading there are other schools talking to Gary Patterson about a possible role in different situations. And over the weekend, I'm reading Oklahoma was one of those schools. I don't know how the Venables news might change that. Would Venables want to come in? And see, the thing with Gary is there's a shadow there. Do you want the shadow? The only guy I know of that can take on the shadow and not worry about it is Saban.
If I were Texas or Oklahoma, the only role that I would want him in right now is as a defensive analyst because of that shadow. And also, there needs to be a little bit of prove it to me before you put him in a more important position to make sure you see that he does still have that burning drive that is necessary to be successful as a coach at any level, but especially the Power 5 college level.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Texas fans, you might have to deal with, but you wouldn't see Gary. He'd be an analyst, and they might even not make him wear orange. He just hangs out in the office.
That would potentially be, I guess it would be important for both, but maybe a little bit more important for Oklahoma than Texas, because Gary can at least provide perspective on teams and individuals in this conference that Brent Venables and the likely staff that he brings with him from Clemson and anywhere else will not necessarily have. That knowledge base that even the Texas coaches have a certain level of after being in this conference for a year.
Yeah, my first reaction to a Texas fan would be, don't be afraid of it, because this is how Nick Saban is Nick Saban. Nick invites all these people in, and he's never scared.
Here's the thing, though. Nick Saban demands a certain respect that no other coach in college football has. It's why he can get away with it, whereas a guy who's still trying to reprove himself, like Steve Sarkisian, that can be just taken down real quickly. If a guy finds himself dissatisfied in a situation and wants to bring somebody else down, not saying that Gary Patterson would ever be so petty as to try and drag a program down, but it's also in his blood based on how he operated at TCU.
All right, coming up in the crap bag, one final look at a possible expanded playoff because we may never get one. So I have to, you know, enjoy trying to look at the fake version. Also, a tribute to the dogs, not those dogs, another set of dogs. I'll tell you who they are. Plus at 105, Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com. His thoughts on the Longhorns and Quinn Ewers and Gary Patterson and whatever else we can think of on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
If I've ever heard anybody cover this song. Who is it, Trey?
No, it was a cover. This is the Band of Heathens and Nikki Blum doing Tumbling Dice.
I was going to say. Interesting. Band of Heathens. Okay. Really good sound there. So that's a Stone song that, yeah, Tumbling Dice, I think, is on Exile on Main Street.
That does sound like a Stone song, now that you say that.
And for years, I don't know if it's still in there, that song was always in the set list, and it was sort of like the weird crowd reaction song. I would ask myself, why do they keep putting this in the set? And then you'd listen to the way the crowd reacted and go, oh, that's why. That's why. All Mick had to say was, hey, you know, he could just say, this is Tumbling Dice, or it's called Tumbling Dice, or he could just start playing it. As soon as that little guitar part would hit, crowd would lose their mind. And it's just a cool, chill-out, kind of bluesy-era Stone song. So that's cool. A good cover there of Tumbling Dice. Band of Heathens. We also had St. Paul and the Broken Bones, so good band names already today with new music hitting on Friday. That's always a good Christmas gift idea. Just get somebody some music. Get them like a digital gift card or whatever. Looking up there to see an official press conference for Brent Venables. He is the new coach at Oklahoma. We hit that. Looks like Manny Diaz definitely is out at Miami, and it looks now like Mario Cristobal is going to be the guy. We talked about Quinn Ewers. We talked about Gary Patterson. It'll be apparently an analyst role at Texas if he takes it. Nothing official there, but apparently that is one of the things he is thinking about for his next move. Right now, though, let's look into the possible one more time. Not the possible. It's kind of a dream now, but let's go into the crab bag and talk playoff.
Bucky and Aaron.
Whoa, what am I doing there?
Chad's crab bag.
Crab bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, Bucky and Aaron might want the expanded playoff, too. Brought to you by AV Consultations. 255-8678 or go to avconsultations.com. So since, and Trey will give you the reason why, but apparently the expanded playoff may be in a little trouble in a couple years, so let me just hang on to the thought of it. So if we had a 12-teamer, it would be Pitt as a conference champion. They would be going to Notre Dame. Maybe an interesting matchup there. That quarterback. By the way, did you see the fake slide that Pickett pulled off?
Yeah.
I've never seen a quarterback do that.
That should be illegal. It is illegal in the NFL. Once it looks like you're starting a slide, you're down. They need to make that the rule in college now. Still a sick play for him, though.
This is a great play. The 11-6 matchup would be Utah at Ohio State. I'm sorry. I want to see it. Y'all may not want to. I want to. That's a conference champion Utah. I know they'd have three losses, but going to Columbus, that would be fun. Baylor would get to host a playoff game in a 7-10. It would be all green. Michigan State and that running back taking on Baylor and that running back. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Y'all'd watch that, right? Y'all'd watch that. And then in the 8-9 battle, it would be the battle of the O schools. Oklahoma State would have to travel to Oxford to take on Ole Miss. That would be good stuff. Gundy and Kiffin, do you understand what those press conferences would be like? If you put those two guys in a room together, that'd be awesome. I know, I'm asking for too much. Trey, apparently Bob Bowlsby would say I'm asking for too much right now because he's running his mouth on Saturday that, what, we're getting further from the expansion?
God, Bowlsby, will you just shut the hell up, please? Yeah, he's making it sound like expansion prior to the current contract running out, which I think is after the 24 season, is less and less likely. And a lot of it has to do, apparently, Chad, with their inability to figure out how those first-round games would be held, like where they would be held, if they would be home games, if they would be bowl games.
They can't figure that out.
I think the real reason is that it takes a unanimous decision by everybody who is on the college football playoff committee.
Ugh. Does it really?
Which does decide expansion and includes some G5 presence, as well as Notre Dame, obviously the P5 and some other individuals.
Unanimous,
which is shocking to me, but at the same time, everybody should want this. I think this comes down to guaranteed spots in the expanded playoff. My response to that is, look, if you are worried that you're not going to have a team that's in the top 12, then I'm sorry, that's your problem. You shouldn't still get that guarantee.
No, I agree with you there. Now, are you saying that the committee, the CFP committee, has to be unanimous and they determine this? Or are you saying it's all of the like conference commissioners and Swarbrick and that's the group that decides?
I need to look up again just for that mental refresher who okay. all comprises this committee. I think it is every...
Because in my mind, it
I think it is every conference commissioner in Notre Dame.
That's what I thought it was. 10 conference commissioners plus Swarbrick. That's what I thought. It's that's 11 people.
Yeah, I feel like there's a 12th there, though, too.
Okay.
So we'll have to look up the members during the commercial break.
If it has to be unanimous, that's going
to
be tough.
Yeah, if it has to be unanimous, we may as well just wait for this to happen in 25 and... probably go ahead and rub the G5 out at that point.
Yeah, I would hope they can figure that out. But congrats to Cincinnati. Not only did they win, but once again they won convincingly and went to 13-0, and they are your number 4 seed. Elsewhere in the crap bag, while I have a quick moment, let me give the credit where credit is due. Because my team took on their rival yesterday, and the rival was better, Trey. Women's basketball, Texas goes to Texas A&M. Did my heart good to watch, too. I love when those two logos get together. I get the chills. I was ready. I was pumped. And Vic Schaefer's got a bunch of junkyard dogs, man. They get after you. Here are the numbers. They win by 16. It didn't even feel that close as somebody rooting for the other team. Got about 7,100, though, at Reed. Good crowd shows up. Aaliyah Matharu, I do not know what she is afraid of. It might be bugs. It might be the dark. But she ain't afraid of anything that has to do with big shots in a basketball game. She went 5 for 9 from three. She scored 26. And this is the number that freaks me out, Trey. Texas, they did this at Stanford when they won that game. 7 turnovers on the road as a team, and they forced 19 points off turnovers, 32-0. I've never heard of that in a basketball game.
Whoa.
32-0 in points off turnovers. Congrats to Vic Schaefer's crew. They went at Stanford, at A&M, at Tennessee. They won 2 of the 3 and lost the other one in overtime in Knoxville. I'm not saying they're dominant and they're going to whip everybody. I'm saying I think they're a tough out. I think that team for 4 quarters is going to fight you tooth and nail. And by the way, tonight, special Longhorn Weekly with Coach Schaefer out at Pluckers campus location. As always, head on over there, get the great Pluckers food, and check out if you have not peeked into women's basketball after those huge wins. Go out and give Coach Schaefer and his players some love. Congrats to Texas on that big win. I think those two teams were like 15-ish going in terms of the rankings. That's a good A&M team they just beat, and they beat them pretty good. They controlled them in College Station. Nice job by Coach Schaefer's crew. Obviously, Coach Beard's crew looking good too. They go at Seton Hall later in the week. We'll be talking about that a little bit. There's your crap bag. We do that every day about 12:45, where I am still dreaming of an expanded playoff. Up next, Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com. We'll talk about Gary Patterson. We'll talk about Quinn Ewers and his mullet and where it may end up. Got to tell you, the fit in Lubbock with that mullet, it's pretty solid. I'll say that as an Aggie. A lot of Longhorns might even admit that. But we'll get into all of it with Joe coming up next on The Horn.